Boker Tov. We're on Daf Kuf Tes Vav, and we're beginning the 15th Perek. I'm sorry, we're beginning the 16th Perek, actually. And that is called Kisvei HaKodesh. Now, the phrase Kisvei HaKodesh, which means the Holy Writ, is a very broad term. It includes, obviously, writing scriptures, but it goes even beyond that. We'll see a discussion later on about writing brachos. You know, if, let's say, you took out a parchment and you wrote brachos and you mentioned the name of Hashem, we'll have a discussion later on about what's called an amulet, a kameah, also mentions the name of Hashem. So in a general sense, we could say that Kisvei HaKodesh in a broader context could mean any holy writings that are written on parchment or on paper and have the names of Hashem in them. Now the Mishnah is going to tell us that if there's a fire on Shabbos and the Kisvei HaKodesh are located in a Rishus HaYachid, we're going to find a special dispensation to allow taking these Kisvei HaKodesh, these holy writings, out of the house to save them from the fire into what's called a mavui. And a mavui is an alleyway which has, at least on a Drabonin level, a status of a Rishus HaRabim. And in order to allow carrying it a mavui, you need certain what we call tikkun mavui. Maybe it's a lechi, maybe it's two lechis, a koro, whatever it might be. And this situation is where he has no tikkun. But as I said before, there's a special dispensation for the sake of saving Kisvei HaKodesh, so they shouldn't go up in smoke, that you're allowed to take them from the bayis, save them from the dleika, from the fire, and bring them out into a mavui. Our discussion today is mostly focused on what is Kisvei HaKodesh, what's included in this heter to allow you to take them out of the house. Kol Kisvei HaKodesh, so we're talking now about Torah, Nevi'im, and Ksuvim. Matzilin Osan Bifnei Adleika, you can save them. Bein Korin Bohem, Ubein Ein Korin Bohem. Now, there, believe it or not, not all of Tanakh are you allowed to read on Shabbos. And there was a special gzerah about Ksuvim. So Torah, Nevi'im, I mean, Nevi'im we read as part of the Haftorah, but Ksuvim was prohibited. Maybe we'll get a chance to talk about that because of something called Bitul Beis HaMedrash, which means that Ksuvim were very interesting, very exciting reading. People enjoyed them, but it took away from the Beis HaMedrash, where the Rav would give a shiur and a drush, and it was very important to get everyone involved, so they shied away from reading Ksuvim. As I said, that's a topic unto itself. So the Mishnah goes ahead and tells us that even though we don't read from the Ksuvim on Shabbos, but nevertheless, it has the sanctity of Kisvei HaKodesh, and given that status, you have to save it from the Dleika. Then the Mishnah has a kind of ambiguous phrase, which the Gemara is going to try to analyze, and that is, Afal Pishek Suvim Bechol Lashon, even though it's written in other languages. Now, as a general rule, if holy writings are in other languages, it's a questionable status, and that's a sugya Masechta Megillah, which records a machlokas between the Tanakhama and Rav Shimon Gamliel as to whether or not you're allowed to write Kisvei HaKodesh in other languages. Rav Shimon Gamliel was opposed to it. With the exception of Yevanis, Yaftalakim V'Yefes, a special pasuk that puts Yevanis on a different level, and you're allowed to translate the Torah into Yevanis, and that has the status of Kisvei HaKodesh. But does another book of Tanakh written in French, English, Spanish, whatever it might be, have the status of Kisvei HaKodesh? The Mishnah says, Afal Pishek Suvim B'chol Lashon, and at first glance implying that even if the books were written in other languages, it still has the status of Kisvei HaKodesh, matzilim b'fnei adleika, we're going to have to save it. And then there's another phrase here in the Mishnah which sort of stands out on its own. We don't know exactly where it hangs, and that's te'unim gniza, which means that after you finish using a certain sefer and it's no longer usable, it's already beginning to disintegrate, you still have to bury it. And that's mishum kavod ha-sefer, because of the honor that we shouldn't chas v'shalom be mevaze ha-sefer, we shouldn't humiliate it and degrade it, so therefore we bury it. Now, if we're talking about Kisvei HaKodesh, it goes without saying that certainly te'unim gniza, it would seem that this phrase te'unim gniza is an extension of afal pi sheksuvim b'chol lashon, that even though it's written in a different language, we're going to save it b'fnei adleika. It doesn't have exactly the same status as Kisvei HaKodesh and te'unim gniza. And as we said before, why don't we allow reading from Ksuvim on Shabbos? Because it would interfere with the drasha of the Rav that was given in the main sanctuary in the synagogue, in the center of the city, and people should join that, and therefore they didn't want people getting distracted by reading Ksuvim. And now we're going to study a machlokas between Rav Huna and Rav Chisda. Itmar. The Gemara brings down the following issue. Hayiksuvim Targum o Bechol Lashon. Targum, of course, is Aramaic, and it's a translation of the Torah. And you have now a book of Targum, or Kol Lashon, any other language. And these Kisvei HaKodesh, the Holy Writ, were written now in a different language. So the Gemara quotes a machlokas now between Rav Huna and Rav Chisda. Rav Huna Amar, Ein Matzilin Osan Bifnei Adleika. Kisvei HaKodesh, even though they have the holy names of God and verses from Tanakh, but they're written in a different language, they do not have the status of Kisvei HaKodesh as far as Hatzolah and Adleika. We'll soon see later that we still have to treat them with a certain amount of kavod, but you cannot classify them as Kisvei HaKodesh. That's Rav Huna. Rav Chisda Amar Matzilin Osam Bifnei Adleika. Rav Huna says it's not just enough to give them kavod, but let's upgrade them to the status of Kisvei HaKodesh. And the Gemara says the following, Aliba demand the Omer Nitnu Li Karos Bahen. We have a Machlokas Tanoim, as I mentioned earlier, Masechta Megillah. Are you allowed, is it permissible to write Kisvei HaKodesh in another language? And the Tanakhama allows it. And the Gemara says that if you're allowed to write it in other languages, then you could read it from those Kisvei HaKodesh in other languages, and therefore it has the upgraded status of Kisvei HaKodesh, and therefore we will save them from the fire, bringing them out of Rishus HaYochid into a Mavui. Kuliyamalo Pligi Dematzilin. In that case, even Rav Huna would agree, he would concede, that we save them. Because that's going according to the Man d'Yomar in Masechta Megillah, who says that you're allowed to write Torah Neviim Ksuvim Bechol Lashon, and all the Sfarim can be written in any language, and once he allows that, he allows also learning from them. Obviously, if he's allowing you to write them, then it means you're allowed to study Torah from them, and they have the status of Kisvei HaKodesh, and as we said before, therefore we're going to save them Bifnei Adleika. But where do we find the machlokas between Rav Huna and Rav Chisda? Ki pligi aliba d'man d'yoma lo nitnu likros b'hem. We're going now according to the Man d'yoma, that's Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, who disagrees with the Tana there in Megillah, and holds that we don't write Sfarim in other languages. Again, as I mentioned before, there's an exception in the case of Yevonis, but other than that, we don't write the Torah in other languages, and therefore, we don't read from those books that are written illegally, according to Rav Shimon Gamliel, in other languages. And that's called lo nitnu likase v'asur likros bahem. You're not allowed to read from them. Now, this is different than the ksuvim in our Mishnah. In ksuvim, you're not allowed to read from them because of the gzera of bitul beis hamedrash, but it's written in Lashon Kodesh, and it has the kedusha of kisvei hakodesh, and therefore will certainly save ksuvim on Shabbos. Mipnei adleika. But in this case, we're talking according to Rav Shimon Gamliel, who says that it's written in a different language, you're not allowed to write it, you're not allowed to read it. And therefore, Rav Huna Omar Ein Matzilin. We understand Rav Huna. We cannot upgrade the status of Kisvei HaKodesh in other languages, according to Rav Shimon Gamliel, who prohibits it, to the status of Kisvei HaKodesh to save it Mivnei Adleika. But to our surprise, Rav Chisda Omar Matzilin. We will save them. Now, are you asking me, would you have been permitted to write it? We're going according to Rav Shimon Gamliel? Absolutely not. Are you allowed to read from them? We don't study Torah from them. They're written in another language. But ask me, do we save them from the Dleika? Says Rav Chizda, that's already a different halach. Mishum bizayin kisvei hakodesh. We're going to soon see that amulets and people used to write down, instead of a siddur that was published, they didn't have publishing in those days, so they would write the brachas down with the name of Hashem. None of those have the status of Kisvei HaKodesh, but yet, there's kavod, the name of Hashem was written, and there's an Iser Bizayin, you're not allowed to humiliate them. And therefore, to degrade them by letting them burn in the fire, that we cannot tolerate. So Rav Chisda has a more liberal view, in which his understanding of Matzilin Mifnei Adleika is a broad-scoped principle which applies whenever there's a Chiyuv Kavod, even if it's not Kisvei HaKodesh. It doesn't have the status of Kisvei HaKodesh. For example, later on we're going to have a sugya whether you're allowed to take such books into a bathroom. That's already a different question. Is that called Bizayin? Is it not called a Bizayin? But it doesn't have the status of Kisvei HaKodesh. Now, by the way, if you're just interested on the side, you know, I like to, in the Daf Yomi, sometimes I like to add a little pepper. On the side, you should know that in our day, the Chazal already gave a heter to write Kisvei HaKodesh in other languages. And therefore, you would definitely save any book written in English or any other language of the holy books from a Dleika. But back in the time of the Gemara, they didn't have this problem. There wasn't any widespread ignorance such that they had to allow writing Kisvei HaKodesh in other languages. It was written in Lashon HaKodesh. And Rav Shimon Gamliel insists that you're not allowed to write it in another language, and Rav Huna therefore says, don't save it b'fnei adleika. So the Gemara now wants to analyze the Mishnah as we read it carefully. Tanan, we learned in our Mishnah, called Kisvei HaKodesh, Matzilin Osan B'fnei Adleika, Bein She'Korin Bahen, Bein She'Ein Korin Bahen, Afal Pi, She'Ksuvim B'chol Loshon. You know, maybe we didn't pay enough attention to the Mishnah, but the Mishnah seems to indicate clearly that we save B'fnei Adleika all Kisvei HaKodesh, even in another language. And Ein Korin Bahen, we're not allowed to read from them. My love, shouldn't we interpret that Korin Bahem is a reference to Nevi'im? Ein Korin Bahem is a reference to Ksuvim, which means that even though we're not allowed to read Ksuvim on Shabbos, that doesn't detract in any way from the Kedusha of the Sefer when it's written in Lashon Kodesh. And now the Mishnah goes ahead and tells us a bigger Kedush, Afal Pi Ksuvim, She'Ksuvim B'chol Lashon, even if it's written in another language, Delo Nitnu Likros Bahem, and you're not allowed to learn from a sefer that's written in another language, which seems to mean that our Mishnah reflects the Shita of Shimon Gamliel, and yet the Mishnah says, Afal Pichein Matzilin Osam Mifnei Adleika. We're going to save them Mifnei Adleika. Uktani Matzilin Tiyufta de Rav Huna. So though intuitively we identify with Rav Huna that if you're not allowed to write them in other languages, then you shouldn't be allowed to save them Mifnei Adleika, but the Mishnah says otherwise. Amalcha Rav Huna, wait a second, says Rav Huna, I'll show you that you don't understand the Mishnah either. You know, we're all on the same shaky grounds here as far as this Mishnah is concerned. Vitizbra, and your logic tells you that you can understand the Mishnah, and say, for what about the two words in the Mishnah that are hanging in midair? It says to Unim Gniza that when they get ruined, then you have to bury them. Hashda now, Atzulim Atzilin, you're going to save them if they are Dleika. And Gniza mi boy, you have to tell me a Chiddush that that it requires Gniza, even if it wasn't Shabbos. I'd have to know that a Kisvei HaKodesh requires Gniza. That's a basic halacha. Ella says the Gemara, there's something that requires refurbishing and understanding the Mishnah, and Rav Huna is going to have to explain the Mishnah, and Rav Chizu is going to have to explain the Mishnah. Ella, Rav Huna mitaretz l'tamei, Rav Chizda mitaretz l'tamei. Each one is going to explain the Mishnah according to his Shita. And keep in mind that Rav Huna is the Machmir and Rav Chizda is the Mekil. Rav Huna mitaretz l'tamei. When it says in the Mishnah that kol kisvei hakodesh matzilin also v'fnei adleika, bein shekorin bahem means neviim, bein she'ein korin bahem means ksuvim. Now you have to add a few words to the Mishnah. Bamed varim amurim, when do you save them? That's only kiksuvim b'loshen hakodesh. Aval b'chol loshen ein matzilin v'afilu achi gniza miboy. So we're going to add a little bit of a keta here in the middle of the Mishnah to tell you that if it's written in other languages, then we don't save it b'fnei adleika, because he wasn't allowed to do so, and he's certainly not allowed to learn from such a sefer. But nevertheless, we have the basic kavod that we have to give, even if God's name is written in a different language, and therefore it needs gniza. So even though it's written in another language, and we will not save it from the dleika on Shabbos, it means it doesn't have the halachic legal status of Kisvei HaKodesh. Nevertheless, we need gniza. Rav Chizda mitaretz l'tamei bein shekorim lehem v'neviim bein shekorim lehem ksuvim afal pishek ksuvim b'chol lashon nami matzilin. He's going to interpret it in the exact opposite way. That the Mishnah wants to tell me that even though it's written in other languages, which he wasn't allowed to do according to Rav Shimon Gamliel, but nevertheless we'll save it from the Dleika. Now you're asking me, what do I do with the last phrase in this part of the Mishnah of Teunim Gniza Hachikamar? Umekek Shalahem Teunim Gniza. Now, Mekek is already a level of what we call in Hebrew rikavon. It means it's like literally eaten up by the worms, and there's, you know, like just some sort of remnants of what the sefer was once like in its heyday. And nevertheless, even though you're not allowed to write them, and you're not allowed to learn from them because they're written in another language, with Shimon Gamliel, and on top of that, you're not going to be matzil them. I'm sorry. We're going now according to Rav Chizda, sorry. So according to Rav Chizda, even though you're not allowed to write them, and even though you're not allowed to read from them, nevertheless, matzilin, we will save them from the dleika. So now you're asking me, okay, if we're saving them from the dleika, then it goes without saying that we would put them into gniza. But the answer is no. Umekak shalem, even though it reaches this very extreme level, and it's hardly, you know, it's hardly anything left over, nevertheless, you have to bury it. Meisvei. Now the Gemara quotes a brisa, which seems to explicitly contradict Rav Huna. The brisa says, "Iksuvim targum v'chol lashon," even though the Holy Writ was written in Aramaic or in any other language, "Matzilin also b'fnei adleika," we do save it from the dleika. Tiuv to the Rav Huna. Isn't that a stirut Rav Huna? Nay, that's not a stirut Rav Huna. Malcha Rav Huna, hai tana sovereign nitnu likros behem. The tana that brisa is the Tanakama in Masechta Megillah against Rav Shimon Gamliel. And as we said at the outset, according to the Tanakama, nobody debates. The Tanakama holds that you're allowed to write Kisvei HaKodesh in any language, and certainly therefore you would save it b'fnei adleika. My point, says Rav Huna, is that according to Rav Shimon Gamliel, who doesn't allow you to write the Torah in other languages, then we don't save it b'fnei adleika. It's not Kisvei HaKodesh. Toshma, we have another kash on Rav Huna from a different brisa. Hoysa ksuva giftis. Now, because there are going to be many brises here on this daf, if I had a whiteboard, I would write the word giftis just to identify this brisa, because later on we're going to come back to this brisa. So this is the brisa of giftis. And giftis is a certain kind of a language. Mudis is from Medes, another kind of a language. Ivris is the original Hebrew before Lashon Kodesh. That's from Evrad Nar. It's called Ivris. And I don't have a diagram here for you, but I can show you letters in Ivris. Some of them are slightly reminiscent of our, what's called Ksav Ashuris. Oh, Elamis, another country somewhere on the face of the earth. Oh, Yevanis is written in Greek. Afal Pishalonitnu Likros Bahem. So we're going now, according to Rav Shimon Gamliel. Nevertheless, Matzion also Bifnei Adleika is Tuvta Drav Huna. Finally, we have it down pat. We've got a brisa that says explicitly that you're not allowed to read from these sfarim that are written in other languages, and yet we will still save them Bifnei Adleika. And the paradox is that we upgrade them to the status of Kisvei HaKodesh, even though they're sort of illegal. And even though intuitively, excuse me, we would identify with Rav Huna, and we'd say, well, if you can't learn from them, then obviously they're not Kodesh. I mean, Kodesh Lamai. I mean, well, what's the sanctity of a Sefer Torah if you can't read from it? And yet, Matzilin also, it has the status of Kisvei HaKodesh, which may mean that according to Rav Chisda, and the Gemara is now bringing a proof for him, the halacha of Hatzolah b'fnei Adleika is a broader halacha. The concept of Kisvei HaKodesh in this mission, according to Rav Chisda, is not the strict, classic definition of Kisvei HaKodesh, which certainly means that you read from them. We're talking about something that's written in other languages. We're going according to Rav Shimon Gamliel. You're not allowed to read from them. But nevertheless, it's called Kisvei HaKodesh in some generic sense. It's a broader circle. And the nafka mina is madlikin, is matzilin b'fnei adlik. Amalecha Rav Huna says tanoihi. I'm going to quote to you another brisa, and that brisa is going to explicitly present a machlokas tanoim as to whether or not, if you're not allowed to read from these kisvei hakodesh written in another language, you are matzil b'fnei adlik or you're not matzil b'fnei adlik. And therefore, you quoted a brisa called Giftis, that's the name we're going to give to that brisa, and that brisa reflects the shita that goes against me, says Rav Huna, and holds that Matzila b'fnei adlik. But there's another Tana who disagrees. The Sanya, we learned to the brisa, Hayu, Ksuvim, Targum, V'chol, Lashon, Matzila, Nosam, b'fnei adlik. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Ein Matzila, Nosam, b'fnei adlik. So again, on the whiteboard, what we have is the following. Number one, we have the price of Giftis, which explicitly says that even though we're not allowed to write them and read them, if they're written in another language, nevertheless, Matzilim b'fnei adleika. Now we have the Tanakama of the Brisa, which we'll call Hayu Ksuvim, and that Tanakama holds, like the Brisa of Giftis, Ksuvim Giftis, that Matzilim also b'fnei adleika. But Rabbi Yossi Omer, Ein Matzilin Osan Mifnei Adleika. And Rav Huna says, I'm going to stand on the shoulders of Rabbi Yossi. Furthermore, Rabbi Yossi himself told us a story in which he relates something that took place in an earlier generation, in his father's generation, Maisa Bi Abba Chalafta, my father whose name was Chalafta. Apparently, if you add the word Abba, you're allowed technically to mention your father's name, even though we avoid it, but Shaholach Eitzaram Gamliel Beribi, the great Gadol Beribi means outstanding Talmud Chacham named Rabbi Gamliel, with Tveri in the city of Tveri. Matzo Shay Yoshev al Shulchano Shal Yochanan Nazuf. Now, exactly why Rabbi Gamliel was sitting at the table of somebody who wasn't up to par, I don't know exactly why. But Biyado, this Yochanan Nazuf, was holding on to a Sefer Iyuv Targum that was translated into Aramaic. V'hu kore b'hem. And this Yochanan was reading this book in a foreign language, in Aramaic. Amalo, so my father said to him, Zachor ani b'Rav Gamliel avi avicha, so that when Rav Gamliel was sitting at this table with this Yochanan Nazuf, and my father Abba Chalafta came and he saw this, he said to Rabbi Gamliel apparently didn't know something about his own grandfather, Avi Avicha, your father's father, Hoya Omed Al Gabi Milo Beharabayis, your grandfather, that's called Rabbi Gamliel Azake, the original Rabbi Gamliel, was standing on a level on the Harabayis. He viewed the fun of Sefer Iyov Targum, and somebody showed him a Targum of the Book of Iyov. Omar Libanai, there was one of the workers there in the Harabayis, one of the builders, Shak'eu Tachas HaNidbach. There was a row of stones. Hide it underneath this row of stones. I don't want anyone to have access to it. And therefore, when Rabbi Gamliel hears this story from Abba Chalafta, says Rabbi Yosef, from my father, then he said, is Afhu Rabbi Gamliel, meaning the younger Rabbi Gamliel, the grandson, Tziva Olav Ugnozo. We got to put away this Sefer Iyov. So we see clearly that from this story, that Rabbi Yossi is right, that Ein Matzilin Oso Bifnei Adleika, I mean, if we have to put it into Geniza, I mean, we have to make it unaccessible, then obviously we're not going to save it from a fire on Shabbos. And this supports the Shita Rabbi Yossi in the second Brisa. Now the Brisa says, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, he had a slightly different version of the story, that it wasn't that Rabbi Gamliel put the Book of Iyov in Targum underneath a pile of stones, but Areva Sheltit Kofwalov. He went even a step further. He had him destroy it, totally destroy it, to smash it with concrete, to pour clay over it. Amar Rebbe, Rebbe said, no, that can't be exactly what happened there. Shtei Tshuvas B'dover. I have two answers for you to reject that version. And number one, he says, Chada v'chitit b'harabayis minayin. They didn't have any cement in the Harabayis. They used other materials, lime and so forth. And v'yodet furthermore v'chimutal abda b'yad. Meaning, even if you want to put a sefer into Gniza, in this case Iyov in Targum, but nevertheless to absolutely destroy it, take your hands and destroy it by pouring clay over it, that you're not allowed to do. Elamei nicham b'mkomam haturpa v'hem markivim me'alehem. But rather you put it away, it becomes inaccessible, like the case where you put it under the stones, and they'll get ruined on their own with the passage of time. But you're not allowed to actively destroy them. So Mantana, says the Gemara, Mantanoi, which are the Tanoim that Rav Huna referred to before, that argue about whether you can save Minadleka, Kisvei HaKodesh, that are written in other languages? And now we turn to Kuf, Tes, Vav, Amid, Beis. Ilema, if you're going to tell me that the Tanoim are the Tanakama de Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yossi, right, the Tanakama said Matzilin or some Bifnei Adleika, Rabbi Yossi told this whole story because he held that we have to put it away, and therefore it would come out that Rabbi Yossi is like Rav Huna and the Tanakama is like Rav Chisda. He says, "V'dilma b'hakam iflugi." How do you know that they're arguing in the same machlokas as Rav Chizda, Rav Huna, Rav Chizda? Mar, the Tanakama Savar is nitnu likaras b'hen. Maybe they're arguing about the same identical machlokas in Masechta Megillah, whether you're permitted to write Kisvei HaKodesh in other languages, and therefore the Tanakama holds that you can write it in any language, nitnu likaras b'hen. And for sure, the Matzilin also b'fnei adleika, they have the same identical status as Kisvei HaKodesh. Rabbi Yossi, on the other hand, Mar, Sovra lo nitnu likros behem, he holds like Rav Shim Gamliel, you're not allowed to write them in other languages, you're not allowed to read them, and therefore you're not allowed to save them. Ella, but rather, says the Gemara, no, Rabbi Yossi v'tana de giftis. Let's go back to the Brice of giftis. The Tana of Giftis said that even though lo nikri koris b'hem, meaning he's going explicitly like Rav Shim Gamliel, nevertheless he says matlikin also b'fnei adleika, he's going to reflect the shita of Rav Chizda, but Rav Yossi in the second Raisa, who says that If it's written in another language, then you're not in a matzil mehem. He reflects the shita of Rav Huna. Halacha l'maisa, by the way, although we paskin like Rav Huna l'chumra, because Rav Chisda is considered a Talmud of Rav Huna, but nevertheless, as I told you before, the poskim allow writing Kisvei HaKodesh in other languages, and therefore if it's fire, you know, we're going to allow you to take it out into a muffin. Tana Rabbanan. I mentioned at the beginning of this shiur that there are many different levels of Kisvei HaKodesh. And in some levels, you know, you're not talking about, you know, writing Tanakh, but you are talking about writing the names of Hashem. So Tana Rabbanan, we learned in a Braisa HaBrachos. Like, let's say, for example, somebody would write Shmon Esrei or any other bracha on a piece of parchment, and it's got the Shemus of Hashem, Vakmiyim. You remember we had a whole long sugya about these amulets that are used for therapeutic purposes, and the experts, right, we had to test them out to see if he was an expert, he was able to heal you by writing certain psukim and verses and names of God on a parchment. It's afalpi sheyesh bem osios shel shem, even though on this parchment the name of God is written, umin yonos harbe shebat Torah, the many psukim and parashis of the Torah that were written here for these kmiyim, is nevertheless ein matzilin oson b'fnei adleik. They do not cross that boundary and get classified as Kisvei HaKodesh, as far as that mission is concerned. Again, an Isur Bizoyon, we're going to have. Like, for example, we said that, according to Rav Huna, who holds like Rav Shimon Gamliel, if it's Kisvei HaKodesh written in other languages, it doesn't have a heter, and you're not allowed to read from it, but nevertheless, we're gonna have to give a gneza to it, even if we can't save them, because of COVID, not to be. Same thing is going to apply here. Ella nisrafim bekomos heim v'azkaroseyan. If there's a fire on Shabbos, what can we do? Terrible thing, but it's going to go up in smoke. Now, because of that, kosvei brachos kisorfei atorim. Mikan omru, now they concluded that we are not going to permit you to write brachos with the name of Hashem. Again, our sidurim and so forth don't really have the Shem Hashem on it. But we're not going to permit this. And why? Because if you're going to write the Shem Hashem on these brachos and kamios, then if there's a fire on Shabbos, we're not allowed to save them from the fire. They're going to go up in smoke. So inherently, by writing these parchments with God's name, you're causing, at least possibly, that they'll go up in smoke, and therefore kisorfei Torah. It's like you're burning them. And to illustrate this, Gemara quotes a story: Maisa b'yechad shayukosev b'tzidon, up in the north, he was writing brachos on a parchment. Bo v'odius Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel got wind of this, and he was not happy. Holach Rabbi Shmuel abodko. Is this really true that this man up in Sidon is writing brachos? Ukshaya ola besulam. When Rabbi Shmuel was climbing up to, I guess, the living room floor, which was a little bit higher up, and he was climbing the ladder, he was taking the elevator up to the second floor. Hirgishbo. So this person sensed that Rabbi Shmuel was coming, and he knew that Rabbi Shmuel was absolutely opposed to writing brachos. So he didn't want to get caught red-handed. So what did he do? Natal tumus shel brachos. He took a whole packet full of brachos that he had written, and shikon, and he submerged them besefel shel mayim in water, so that he could destroy the evidence, and that all these ksavim would be destroyed, would be washed away by the water, and Rabbi Shmuel would not catch him. Somehow or other, Rabbi Shmuel got wind of this. Ubeloshen azel amar lo Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel says to him, "Gadol onesh ha'achma min harishon." It was bad enough that you wrote these brachos on a parchment with the name of Hashem, which might have to be burnt in a fire if there's ever a fire. But worse than that, you took the writings that you illegally wrote with the names of Hashem and you destroyed them with your hands, you submerged them in water to blot out the name of God, that's even worse of a crime than having written it l'chatchila. Boy, minei reish galusami rabba bar huna, the Gemara now records a dialogue between the reish galusa. Reish Galusa was more of a political appointee. He had tremendous powers in the Golus of Klal Yisrael, but he wasn't always a great scholar. So he turns to the scholar of the generation, Rabba Bar Avuna, and he asks him the following question. What's the din if you write a Sefer Torah not with ink, but with some other substance? And I'll just give you the English translations. The Kisvei HaKodesh was written in with paint, with red pigment, with gum, or with copper sulfate. B'loshan HaKodesh, but it was written in the holy language. Is matzilin osam b'fnei adleika, or ain matzilin osam b'fnei adleika? Now, here we have to understand the following, that a Sefer Torah has to be written in Dyo. These other substances are not as permanent as Dyo, and they're not kosher for a Sefer Torah. But on the other hand, he did write a full Sefer Torah. It's not like the case where he wrote Brachos or Kamios. This was a full Sefer Torah, albeit it was not written with ink. Is it already inside, or is it outside? Is it inside the group of Kisvei HaKodesh as far as that Mishnah is concerned? Am I Tzilim B'fnei Adleika? Or it just doesn't make the grade? That was the question that was asked to Rabba Bar Avuna. So the Gemara now, maybe even the Reish Galusa himself, analyzes the Tzadi Asay Sofik. Tiboy lemandi omar matzilin, and tiboy lemandi omar ein matzilin. What does that mean? We're going to ask the question according to both opinions. Let's see how the Gemara works this out. Tiboy lemandi omar ein matzilin. Hani mili heichad k'siva targum ubechol lashon. So let's say we go according to Rav Huna. Rav Huna says that Kisvei HaKodesh, as far as Hatzolah is concerned, is a very limited membership club. Not everybody gets admitted. And when there's certain kinds of writings of Kisvei HaKodesh which we would not save if they had leak. So the Gemara says, but that's only when it was written in another language, Aramaic or another language. Aval Hocha, but here, even Rav Huna might allow it, you know, to membership, might allow it membership, and matzil b'fnei adleika, why? Diksive b'loshon hakodesh u'matzilin. At least it's written in loshon hakodesh. So in other words, Rav Huna was making a statement, according to Rav Shem Gamliel, who prohibits writing Kisvei HaKodesh in another language, in French, in English, and so forth. But here, he wrote it in loshon kodesh. Okay, it's not a Sefer Torah, in the sense that he didn't use Dyo, but nevertheless, it's Kisvei HaKodesh, O Dilma, or perhaps Afilu Manti Omer Matzilin, even the one who has this expanded definition of Matzilin, of Kisvei HaKodesh, something that's technically not Kisvei HaKodesh. You're not allowed to write it in another language, you're not allowed to read it in that other language, but yet Matzilin also, because it is a translation of the Tanakh, and that's Rav Chisda. But Hani Milehechad Ksiva Vidyo, maybe Rav Chisda, would certainly, as the barest requirement, minimum requirement for Matzilim B'fnei Adleika, would require written Vidyo. Why? Demekayim. Black ink is a Dora Miskayim. It's not like a temporary writing. And by the way, even black ink, over the course of, let's say, a century or two, will start fading. But how much more so if it was written in paint and gum and sulfate and so forth? Since now it's not written in a permanent way, it's written with things that are not ink, like paint, and we said before, sulfate and pigments and gums and so forth and so on, it won't last. And therefore, ein matzilin bifnei adleika, we're not going to save it for the dleika. So in other words, the Gemara is raising the possibility that for hatzol bifnei adleika, you need a davar hamiskayim. And here, it's not a davar hamiskayim. Now, it's interesting. Tosis points out that the Gemara in Gittin speaks about writing a get on any of these other kinds of inks, you know, these paints and so forth, and so on, these pigments. And the Gemara in Gittin says that for a get, you need a davar hamiskayim. And yet, the Gemara says that kosav get b'syam, b'sam u'b'sikra b'kumku b'kankantum is kosher. And it's really interesting. Apparently, we have two different standards. As far as Kisvei HaKodesh is concerned, there's a separate halach of ink, which is the paradigm davar hamiskayim, and less than that simply won't do. It's not a davar hamiskayim. But as far as get is concerned, we just need that it should last 100 years. It doesn't have to last 1,000 years. And that's considered a davar hamiskayim, even though it's written in other languages. So what does Rabba Rav Huna answer to this question of the Reish Galusa? Amalei ein matzilin. We're not going to save this from the Dleika, even though it's a full Sefer Torah, but it's not a kosher Sefer Torah, and it's not a Dovra Miskayim. It was written in a different kind of an ink. So the Reish Galusa says, but Vaha Omar Rav Huna Tana, Rav Hamnun, had a Braisa. And the Braisa says, Matzilin, that we do save Kisvei HaKodesh, that's written in a paint and not in ink. Amalei Tanya Tanya. So at this point, Rabbi Rav Huna says, I just gave you my intuitive logic, but if you're quoting a Tana from a Braisa, I can't argue against the Braisa, and therefore I rescind my original position. My Tanya. And Rav Hamnuna said he has a Braisa. Where is this Braisa? What is this Braisa? Omer Rav Ashi, Kidesanya, we have a Braisa. Ein Bein Svarim LeMegillah. The difference between writing a Sefer Torah and writing a Megillah, Ella Shahasforim Nichtovim Bechol Lashon. Now this Braisa reflects the Shita of the Chachamim that allow writing Sforim in other languages. Umegillah Shetehei Ksuva Ashuris Ala Sefer Ubidyo. Okay, so now we have Halacha in Megillah, and we're talking about Megillah's Esther, and it could be written in either, or I should say it only, in Ashuris. Ashuris means Lashon Kodesh. Number two, it's got to be written Ala Sefer, on Klaf. And number three, it's got to be written in Dio. Now, the Braisa is listing and enumerating all the differences between Sfarim and Megillah. And from the fact that it says that Megillah can only be written with Dio, it would seem, by contrast, that this Braisa is implying that Sfarim could be written in other kinds of ink other than Dio, like in Samva Sikra. And therefore, certainly, we'd be Matzil Bifnei Adleika. So this is the Braisa which the Reish Galusa will use as a support text against Rabba's response that Halacha Matzil Bifnei Adleika will apply to Kisvei HaKodesh that are written in other forms of ink. What happens if you have a Sefer Torah and it's erased? There are very few letters that are still legible. If ein bo shein bo lelaket shmonim v'chamesh osios, kigon parshas vayhi ben tzor aron, Vayehi ben Sara Aron is considered a sefer unto itself, and it has 85 letters. And that sets up the minimum shear for a sefer Torah to still retain its original kedusha. So you have a sefer Torah, and like 99% of the letters of the sefer Torah are erased, but you can still find here, there, and elsewhere as many as 85 letters that are still legible. And since it has the same shear of a sefer that we find in Vayehi ben Sara, which is a sefer, it still retains its sanctity because you have a vestige of what's equivalent to a sefer in the sefer Torah. You have 85 legible letters, and therefore matzilin osa b'fnei adleika o ein matzilin. The Gemara wants to know now, when you still have kedusha to the sefer Torah, how does that kedusha express itself? Tachlis, you know, what is the halachic ramifications if you say, well, it has 85 letters and therefore it's a sefer Torah? So basically, we see that you could have a sefer Torah that only has 85 letters, and maybe we should be matzil b'fnei adleika. Amalei, so that when Rav Huna asks this question to Rav Nachman, Rav Nachman says to him, v'tiboy lecha, Parshas Vayehi ben Sara on Gufa. Let's say you took out a parchment, and all you wrote on the parchment was the Parsha of Vayehi ben Sara. Would we save such a parchment from the Dleika? So Rav Huna responded, Hecha de Chaser be Parshas Vayehi ben Sara lo kami boilach. They came into Ispe as Karos, Afal pi de Lespe, Shmonim, Vichamesh Osios Matzilin, Kikomi Boiloi, Besefer Torah, She'ein bo lilaket Mai. He says the following, that if you had a Sefer Torah, or for example, you had a Sefer on which the Parsha Vayehi ben Sara was written, and now you're missing part of that sefer, lo kami boiloch. Why? Because you have something that had the kedusha of a sefer Torah, and it still has azkaros. Now, even though it says azkaros, meaning the names of God in plural, but the Ritva already points out, one name of God is sufficient. So again, these are the two conditions. Condition number one is, you had a sefer Torah. You had an entire sefer. Vayehi ben Sara Aron is considered a sefer. And number two, you have at least one azkara that's left in the sefer. In such a case, even though the Vayehi ben Sara Aron is missing letters, so you certainly have less than the shear of 85 letters, nevertheless, there's no question matzilin osa b'fnei adleika. However, kikami boilach, what is my suffix? It's a sefer Torah that, number one, doesn't have 85 letters that are still legible left over. Number two, it doesn't have any shemos. You just have some letters here, there, and elsewhere. Amalei, so Rav Nachman says, if so, ein matzilin. You don't have neither 85 letters, which is the basic shear of a sefer, and you don't have shemos, so there's really no vestige left in this original kedusha of the sefer Torah. So Rav Huna is not happy about that. Esve, he asks him a kasha from a brisa. The brisa says targum sheksavo mikra. Right, so he has letters and words that are written of Torah and Nevi'im. And they're written in Aramaic. And I'm sorry, they're Aramaic words. And he writes them in Lashon Kodesh. Or Mikra Sheksavo Targum. Or the exact opposite. He has words that are written in Lashon Kodesh, but he writes them in Aramaic. So they're Hebrew words written in Aramaic. So the first case is that he has Aramaic words that are written in Hebrew, and the second case is he has Hebrew words that are written in Aramaic. Uksav Ivris, or a writing of the Sefer Torah that was written in the original Ksav, back in the time of Avraham Avinu, right? And it has very fine letters, very large letters. It's not at all similar to Ksav Ashuras. Is Matzil b'fnei adleika. In all these cases, we will save them if they had dleika. Ve'in tzarech lomar, it goes without saying. Targum sheba Ezra v'sheba Daniel v'sheba Torah. If you have a correct Targum of the Sefer Torah, which is the very special status of Targum, and not only that, there are words in the Torah itself that are written in Targum, or alternatively you have the Book of Ezra, the Book of Daniel, which is all written in Aramaic, in Targum, is in all these cases, Yomatzilim b'fnei adleika. The Gemara asks, Targum et Torah ma'iniu, where are the words in the Torah that are written in Targum? And the Gemara quotes a parsha in Bereishis Lamanav, it says, Yegar sa'adusa, you know, in the story of Lavan and Yaakov, and that those words are written in Targum. In any event, you see clearly from this brisa that we will save a Sefer Torah, even if you have Yegar sa'adusa, which is written in Targum, Afal pi, afal gav, the less bu shmonim v'chamesh osios. Now the brisa mentions that we will save. What does it say? V'ein tzarech lomar targum sheba Torah, targum sheba Torah. So that means the Gemara says targum sheba Torah is yigar sa'adusa. And you'll save that Yigar Sadusa b'fnei adleika. Doesn't have 85 letters. So how do you, Rav Nachman, say that the barest minimum for Hatzol b'fnei adleika is a sefer that has 85 letters? And the Gemara answers, Ki sanya hi, what it says in the Braisa that will save a Targum Shel Torah, that means Lahashlim. In other words, if you, let's say, the Targum of Torah, Yigar Sadusa, let's say it has 10 letters. You already have another 75 letters. And now you're going to add the Targum of Yigar Sa'adusa to be mashlimit to 85. And then you're going to save it b'fnei adleika. So again, the Gemara still insists that Rav Nachman is correct. And we need 85 letters in the Sefer minimum in order to be matzil b'fnei adleika. Iboilahu, the Gemara has another suffix, Hani shmonim v'chamesh osios. Mechunasos o mefuzaros. When you require a minimum of 85 letters, similar to Vayhi ben Sohar Aharon, which has 85, are they all together in one place, or even if they're spread out? And here we have machlokas. Rav Huna Omar mechunasos. When do we save a Sefer Torah that has only 85 letters? That's if you can find 85 consecutive letters that are legible. Rav Chizda Omar afilu mefuzaros. Even if you have 85 letters that are spread out throughout the entire Sefer, they don't come together in one unit. Nevertheless, that's enough to consider it as Kiddushas Sefer Torah, and we'll save it b'fnei hadlik. Interesting that both Rav Huna and Rav Chizda have a second argument in addition to the original argument about a Kisrei HaKodesh written in a foreign language. And in both Machlokasin, Rav Huna is the Machmir, and Rav Chizda is the Mekil. I don't know if that's coincidental. Now the Gemara asks the Kasha on Rav Huna Meisve. We have a brisa that says Sefer Torah Shebola, a Sefer Torah that disintegrated. In the Yeshbola Laket Shmonim v'Chamesh Osios Kigon Parshas Vayibin Tzara Matzilim. The brisa that we had says that if you have Kidei L'Laket, L'Laket means that you could put together here, there, and elsewhere 85 letters. If you can't, Ein Matzilin, is Tuv Tudrav Huna. From the word L'Laket, we see that these letters are spread out throughout the Sefer. So Tigma Rav Chizda, leave it Rav Huna, this intellectual honesty, Rav Chizda is going to reinterpret the Braisa to defend his Bar Plugta Rav Huna. And what it means is, when the Braisa says Matzilin, even though the Mefuzaros, that's Betevos Mefuzaros. It doesn't mean that the 85 letters are spread out, but it means the words are spread out. So you have full units of words, the words are spread out, but if you add all the letters up of these different words, then you'll come to the number 85. Tana Rabbana, we learned in the Braisa, Vayhi ben Tzaharon, Vayomim Hashem Parsha Zu, Asala, Kodesh Baruch Hu, Simonios, Milamala, Ulamata, Lomar, on the top of Kufte Zayin, She'ein Zeh Mekoma. The reason why the Sefer Torah itself has to have Simonios, which is called Nunim Afuchim, you know, the backwards Nunim, is to teach us that this is not the proper place, but it belongs elsewhere. In other words, when the Torah tells you about the Masos, the Torah should have included Vayhi ben Tzaharon Aaron. That's more appropriate. What's it doing over here? And Rabbi Omer, Lo min Hashem hu zeh. That's not the reason for these simonios, these brackets, these backwards nunin. Ela mipnei shehu sefer chashuv hu bifnei atzmo. It's going to teach us that this two-verse unit that has only two verses in it is considered a sefer unto itself. Hence we understand very well, according to Rebbe, why is it that the minimum shear of a Sefer Torah is the 85 letters equivalent to Vayhi ben Tzaharon.